Amen. Standing on the promises, and all of you were singing, I think, so that's what your hope is based on, right? On the promises of God. And that's where it needs to be. I think that is so key to even what I'd like to share this morning. Probably the key verse I'd like to read from John chapter 15, and probably the key verse is maybe verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me ye can do nothing. I've entitled this message, Staying Connected, or Stay Connected. Sometimes things in life have a way of triggering a message, and I'm going to share a little bit of something that happened to Joyce and I last weekend. So, but I think first of all, we'll read the first 17 verses of John 15. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me. One of the things I want you to notice is how often he uses that, abide in me. Verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I am in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I call you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. One of the things that I think is important also to realize is the setting that this happens in. This is Jesus with his disciples just before his crucifixion, just before, and maybe even at this time, he's heading to the garden. Chapter 14 says something about they rose up to leave, and so I'm not sure where this exactly happened. Were they on the way? Did they stop? But if you think about just the clarity that Jesus had in those moments and the love he had for his disciples in sharing this and having, realizing the importance of them abiding in him even after his death and after he leaves them on their own. Last Saturday it was, Joyce and I went to Chicago. We saw a van advertised and we went to look at it. And we bought it and we were heading home, and it took us a little while there at the dealership, and both of our phones were almost dead. We had an emergency. Well, so I took my phone out to the Suburban to plug it in and let it charge. I think when I took it out, it was at 12%. And I think I took her cord in and we plugged it into the wall socket for a little bit. We weren't there very long after that. But when I went out to leave again, my phone was charged to 4%. I think I was charging the truck. Well, anyway, we rely on our phones for GPS, or I do. And we had only taken one charging cord along. And evidently that one wasn't working. And I happened to have a little short little cord that I could plug in my adapter, and that worked. But if you can visualize me with my GPS and down here holding my phone because the cord wasn't long enough to let it lay on the floor, it was down here and I was looking and Joyce was trying to follow me. And that can be stressful, especially when you're following me. But because her phone was almost dead, and so I was trying to watch my GPS, and I got to one of the first intersections before we were getting out on the freeway, and I thought, you know what, we got to stop somewhere. This is kind of crazy. We have to stop somewhere, and I got to get a charger because we can't go on like this. I mean, I could have probably found my way home, but to try to follow each other and communicate with each other, I thought, well, I'm going to. So the first intersection that I couldn't see clearly, evidently, because I was in the wrong lane. Okay, so she's behind me, and we're supposed to be turning. It was two lanes that turn left. Well, I was on the inside, and there was a spot there for me to go straight, so I kind of disobeyed the law, and I went straight, and she was following, probably being in great distress by then. And so we would go down the highway a little bit, and I thought, you know what, I need to get off on an exit. We need to stop somewhere and get me a charger, and get so we're set up with both having chargers. And of course, again, I was in the wrong lane. I moved over, and by the time she got over, it was hectic again. But we got off, and we got a charger, and we got squared away. But it kind of taught me a thing of like, in life, we depend a lot on things that have power, things that have cords, and the amazing thing is you have to have the proper equipment, or it's not going to work. And you have to have a long enough cord, or you're going to be pulling it out of the socket, and it's just frustrating. Needless to say, I think both of us were kind of frustrated, revealing a little bit of ourselves there, but I think we were kind of frustrated. Depending on power in our earthly daily lives is pretty minute, probably. I mean, it's important. It's stuff that we do, stuff that we deal with. But it's a lesson, I think, in that as long as I am abiding in the vine to that source of power, like my life depends on it, because it does. My Christian life depends on whether I'm connected to Jesus Christ or not on a daily basis. And I know that each of us is going through different periods of life. Each of us is cut out differently, and yet we all have the same needs. None of us is, we're not exempt from having that need of power. All of us have that need of being connected to the vine. And I think it's interesting how Jesus uses this analogy of the vine. And because in the Old Testament, Israel was often referred to as the vine, if you remember. And so the interesting thing here is that Jesus says this, I am the true vine. And I think that is very key in our Christian life as well. If we're not connected to the proper vine, we're not going to have success in our spiritual walk of life. We can be connected to a lot of things. We can even sometimes be connected to ministry as our vine almost. and use that as our, how would you say, our spirituality. Ministry is important, but it is not the vine. It is Jesus that is the vine. Where my strength comes from, it's only Jesus. And it must be only Jesus. And if you get this picture of Jesus being the vine, and then he says, my Father is the gardener. And I don't know how all that works, but the gardener is the caretaker. And if you think about the gardener being an old farmer that's not really with it, that's the wrong picture of the gardener here. This gardener gave his only son to die for you and my sin. So never forget the love of the vine dresser. One of the things that we look at here is that he says is that every branch, in verse 2, every branch of mine that doesn't bear fruit, he does what? Cuts them off. There are some people who say that the verse, the original word in that that word would mean to lift up. In other words, to lift up off the ground. But there is a point, I believe, that I don't think we can ignore, is that there are times when vines are cut off. And that's the judgment of God. But it is really man's choice whether or not they want to stay connected and be productive. When a branch is laying on the ground, not connected to the vine, there's not a whole lot of life there. It's dead, it's useless. And it's and later on he talks about putting it on a pile in verse 6 to be burned. There's another part that talks about the pruning. And what all is pruning? He prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. I think sometimes the things we encounter in life maybe has a way of pruning back the deadness. We have a tendency to pick up habits. We have a tendency to have things in our life that are useless. They're not really helping us produce fruit. One of the things that I think is important for us to realize that we, in some ways, don't have total control over the fruit that is being bore, if that makes sense. Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. The fruit is something that he grows in us. He grows it. That's where it must come from. The source of life is through Jesus Christ. Just one more thing about the whole thing of the gardener is there's protection. The gardener takes care of his branches. I'm not that much of a gardener, but there are some people who will wrap their shrubs and things for winter so that the harshness of the cold doesn't kill them. And if you think about that picture of Jesus or God the Father being that protection. And in Proverbs 15:3 it says, I praise the Lord for the sure knowledge that nothing passes the gaze of my heavenly Father. But probably the thing that happens in pruning is the purifying, removing the dead, unproductive petals or whatever it is, pinching off the little branches and little twigs that aren't producing, and maybe they're even stunting our growth. And I don't know what all that is in your life, but I think it's important for us to think about that. And maybe we have a responsibility of letting the Father prune those things away from our lives if they hinder our growth in our Christian walk, whatever it is. Maybe it's playing checkers, I don't know. But I mean, it's things that can rob us of being truly dedicated to Jesus. So he cleanses the branch and removes the things that sap the vitality and strength. When we allow things into our life that hinder our walk with the Lord, then we are in danger of a pruning. Pruning by its very name sounds painful. And it isn't always easy to cut the junk from our lives, but if we do not do so, the Lord surely will. So, how is this pruning accomplished? And I think it's interesting how that Jesus says in verse 3, "You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you." In the ESV, I think it says, "by the word in me." Or the word that I have spoken to you. So the word of God reveals the things. Like a mirror, the word of God reveals problems. James 1, 23 and 24. "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like the man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he is like." Kind of goes along with what we have up here. It's not so much knowing, but it's doing, right? We know the things we should do, but it's the doing part. It's also like a knife. The word of God cuts to the heart. Hebrews 4:12, we know that it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit and joints and of marrow, and the discerning of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So the question is, are we enough in the word that the word is actually making a difference in our life? And if so, what is the word speaking to us? Are you seeking that word, what he is trying to teach you? Have you been heeding the call from the Lord? And I think if not, especially as I think of us beginning a new year like this, we must have firepower. Abiding in the vine is not a piece of cake. On one side you have the power of God. He's not going to just, nothing can, well, I think there's one thing that we need to remember is that nothing can snatch us from God's hand. But I think it's important for us to also realize that abiding in the vine doesn't always look that nice. I mean, sometimes it's a really huge struggle in life. And it's not a 100-yard dash, but it's a marathon. It's something that we do all our life long. And I hope that we are growing and getting a better glimpse of who God is and how much we need him. One of the things that we have to consider is, as we are a part of the vine, we are the branches. God doesn't say, well, you know, hopefully you bear fruit. But it's a thing of that all of us are called to bear fruit. And I don't know what all that fruit is. We know that we have We have the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, those types of things. But I think part of the fruit definitely is us. And I think especially as he was talking to the disciples, the importance of them abiding in him because of their faithfulness was going to depend on us being here today, even, I think, if you think about that. And so it is with the next generation and the next and so on. If we do not carry out that gospel message and give those people hope who otherwise don't have hope, that's part of our fruit bearing, I believe. We have to be, how would you say, we have to be people that we can live with each other, that people like us well enough that they're going to walk with us. But I think it's important also to realize that my need to share with others, and even as brothers and sisters in Christ, we share with each other and encourage each other. I think that's part of the fruit as well. What about the whole thing that Jesus says, when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples? And then it says that in verse 8, he says, this brings great glory to my Father. And he says, I have loved you even as my Father has loved me. Remain in my love. And I think it's important. I think in this scripture especially, there's a thing of us having a huge part to play in us remaining in that love and not walking away from it and rejecting the truth. And then also he says, in verse 11, verse 10, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. What is our purpose of obeying commandments? Do we obey commandments first, or do we actually love and then do the commandments? I think it's we respond, true love, we respond then to obeying commandments. We don't obey the commandments to earn our love. I think it's more of a thing of a response from my heart, from deep inside, that as I love the Father, I'm going to keep his commandments. And then verse 11, he says, I have told you these things that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And joy and happiness are not quite the same. There's a depth of joy that is hard for us to explain. It's joy unspeakable. But even as I think of Jesus saying these things right now, just before he is crucified and the disciples all scatter, Jesus is giving him these disciples this word for them to come back to and latch onto and understand after he ascends. And then verse 13, of course, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. And he also says, love each other in the same way as I have loved you. So that is a commandment for us. Love each other as I have loved you. And he says that a number of times. You are my friends if you do what I command. And he says, I no longer call you slaves, because the master does things and doesn't confide in a slave, but now you are my friends. And I don't know about you, but to be a friend of Jesus, that's an endearing term. Not only are you my brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're my friends. And friends have a way of interacting. I think like Steve said last Sunday, God made us relational, and he wants us to have positive friendship relations with each other. And then verse 16. Standing on the promises of God, Are there times in your life when you doubt your own trust in God? Verse 16 says this, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruits so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." One of the things that there's a couple places in the Bible that talks about, if you do this, you can ask what you want to, and I will give it, right? Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. The thing about this is as we abide in the vine, our attitude of asking is going to be proper, right? We're not going to be asking for selfish things. One of the things that I think is important, I was reading and one commentator said this, is important for us that the things of this world do not satisfy us. Because if we're seeking God for the things of this world to satisfy that, they're gonna fall flat. But if we seek God in a manner of seeking after his promises, using his promises, standing on the promises, he will answer those things. Doesn't mean it's going to be instantaneous. But it does mean that he will answer. Well, I'd like to just share another thing that happened to us just last night. Some of you may know about this. Lindsay was here for the Women's Inspire, and some of you know the journey that she's been on with dealing with anxiety and depression and those types of things. And last night she had kind of a meltdown, a pretty serious meltdown. And just in that meltdown, she was questioning, well, do I trust God? Maybe you've been there. But it's like, yes, you trust God. It's not like, you can't always go by your feelings. If we go by our feelings, they are going to let us down. But it is standing on the promises of God. It's standing on the truth. And it may sound like a cliche, standing on the promises of God, but it's not. It is so vital for us, and especially in those times. And there are times when you don't feel it. But it's then when it's important for us as brothers and sisters in Christ to gather around to support. And I would just like to say this. Thank you for those of you who are praying. I could see the, just the power of God moving and changing her whole countenance. Is it all done? Is it all over? No. It's still a part of the journey. But I have this confidence in knowing that God is going to prevail. He will take care of us. But it is so important for us to stay connected to the source. Don't ever downplay the fact that reading the Word of God and praying is important. But I will say this, there are times in our life when we don't feel like reading the Word. There are times when we can't hardly pray. God understands. Don't lose hope. I think that's the key. Don't lose hope. Continue on. Remain steadfast. And for sure, I would say for goodness sake, stay connected to Jesus Christ. Don't ever abandon that. That is the most important thing that you can do in this life, is to stay connected to Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter what else you have in life. You have the world when you have Jesus. Because of that eternal hope. This morning, in conclusion, I would just like to say this. Are you in the vine? Have you ever been saved and grafted into Jesus? And then number two, are you abiding in the vine? Are you drawing your strength from him so that he is able to produce fruit through your life? And then number three, are you bearing his fruit today? Where do you stand with Jesus today? And if God has revealed areas in your life that need to be pruned back or otherwise dealt with today, then I just challenge you to come to Jesus and let him take care of your need. It is the most important thing you'll do in life is to be connected to Jesus Christ, who truly can save us. I'd just like to close with a word of prayer, and if someone has anything you'd like to share after the prayer, you're welcome to do so. God, I thank you so much that you are so much involved in our lives, and so much you love us so much that you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins. Help us, Lord, to remember that as we go through life, the things that we do in life is not something that we do of our own strength, because without you we can do nothing. And help us to realize that our bearing of fruit depends on you and even the pruning back of the things that hinder fruit from growing. And so, God, we just commit our lives to you in a fresh way. May you direct us. And I pray, God, just a blessing on each one who is here today, that you would meet the needs and just bring to people's attention. Maybe there are things that they need to deal with, and so we commit that to you. And I pray above all this that we would realize how much you love us and how much you care for us and want what's best for us. And so we commit our lives to you. May you be honored and glorified. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.